Okay, well, you can go ahead and come on in, take a seat. We're going to go ahead and get started here. I am so happy to be here. How good was that first session this morning, main breakout number two? I needed that so good. So good. I needed that. That was so encouraging. And we'll talk a little bit more of adding on to that concept of stewardship when it comes to leadership development. But before we get started, I just want to briefly introduce myself. My name is Annie Hartley, and I am a California girl in my heart, in my soul. I was born about 45 minutes away. How many California girls are in the room? Oh, love it. We love to see it. I'm at home. And I was born in Redlands, California, right up the way here. My aunt and my cousin are actually here. They're in ministry in the area, which I'm so happy that they get to be here today. But I love California, and my family actually moved to five different states. My dad has been a football coach, and my mom has been in vocational ministry for most of my life up until this year. It's been a big year of transition in my life. But for the last 6 years, I've had the honor and privilege of serving as director of Calvary Women at Calvary Chapel Fort Lauderdale. And I'm here with our lead pastor's wife, Suzanne, and Mata Lamas, who's the campus pastor's wife for our Espanol campus, as well as Erica Wilson, who's one of our deacons with Calvary Women, and my number one volunteer. I say it all the time. And I'm so grateful to get to have a conversation around leadership development with you today, because I'm the product of a lot of different people who have developed and invested in me. And so I'm also really proud of each of you for showing up to this conference, because every time that you invest in yourself as a leader, even though it might feel selfish at times, even though it feels like I have a lot of people I actually need to help and to serve, when you take the space and create the space to allow God to shape and form you through leadership development, through attending conferences and workshops, reading books, listening to podcasts, taking that on yourself, and allowing God to work in those areas of your life, it actually makes the people around you better. It elevates the women that you're serving. And each of you are in this room because God has given you a unique mission. Like Ruth talked about, there's only one you. And so we get to walk in the confidence that God has given us each a mission, but also with the understanding of we are not called to do it alone. And we need other people to come alongside to complete the work. And we're going to look a little bit more at what that looks like in scripture. But so you guys know and have this even understanding as we enter into the rest of our time, this is not a Bible study around leadership development. My goal today is to be able to equip you with one practical takeaway that you get to decide what it is, but that you can take back and apply in different areas of leadership development for the people that are in your life. But we're going to go ahead and kick it off by asking this question of why leadership development. Sometimes it feels like one of the lesser important things based on the list of urgent things that we have to complete every single day. And that is where we come to this understanding and this idea of stewardship. I had no idea that Ruth was going to talk about stewardship this morning. And when I saw it in the pamphlet last night, I was like, that is so cool. And I loved even the description that she gave around stewardship of doing all that we can with all that we have right where we're at. And that is the same when it comes to leadership development, that right now, God has uniquely placed us in spaces with people, with different women, to help steward them and their giftings and their lives. And so if we are coming from a place of not striving, we also want to be able to develop the women that are serving alongside of us to also come from a place of stewardship and not of striving. And it's a stewardship issue. And so there are two main reasons why leadership development is important. And the first is that we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to develop and to tend and care for the people that God has entrusted us with. If you look at Ephesians 4:11, it says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so what we see there, and I have it in bold on the screen, if you can see the screen. I know some of you guys can't see the screen, but it's just the verse. But it's really that we get to equip people for the works of the ministry. And can I encourage you for a minute with that verse? What that tells me is it's not all on me. All the ministry, it's not on me. It's easy to feel like everything comes down to you, what you can do, what you can say, the people you have in your sphere. But really what it looks like is being able to equip other people to help do the work of the ministry. That's not to say you're going to stop preaching, teaching, that you're going to stop leading, loving, praying for, counseling. But we have a responsibility to help equip the saints. Most of us would fall underneath those categories where we are helping shepherd, teach, and equip the body of God. The second is that there is a need. So the first is we have a responsibility, and the second is really simple. There's a need for leadership development. This isn't a new problem. You're probably in this room because you're like, help, I need more leaders. I need more people to come alongside me. I have felt that so deeply in so many different seasons of my life. And from there, we can look at we look at Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. That's a calling story right there, feeling compassionate on the people that were right in front of Jesus. So he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. And so that's how we're going to start off today. Maybe the most practical point for you and the most practical takeaway would be that you just need to start praying that God would bring the right people to the table, that God would bring the right people to your ministry who feel called and feel like they want to contribute their part of their giftings to this space in the kingdom of God. It would be easy to assume, if you are familiar with Calvary Chapel and Calvary Chapel Fort Lauderdale, we are a relatively very large church. And it would be really easy to assume that all of us, we just get to, you know, pray for people and talk to people and meet with people. That is not the case. It's a lot of work. And there have been so many times where I have felt so desperate of like, God, I need a lot of help. I don't know what to do. I don't know how I can be in four places at one time on the weekend. And so for me, leadership development hasn't been optional. It's been a necessity. So that we can care and shepherd and steward the people God has given us best, there's a lot of work to be done. And this isn't a new thing. And I find comfort in that, that even Jesus, in the midst of his ministry, was like, look out, the harvest is plenty and the workers are few. And he is the God of the universe. He is saying, we need more people. He chooses to trust that with us. So we're going to pray right now. And we're going to ask God to send more people to the work that we are doing. So let's pray. God, I thank you so much for every woman in this room. God, I thank you that we can serve you from a place of stewardship and not of striving. God, I thank you for the unique gifts and talents and stories that you've given every woman in this room. She brings such a unique space to the kingdom of God. And God, I just ask for the visions and the dreams that are represented here. God, that you would start calling women who are not in this room right now to the work of the ministry, to the specific calling that you have for them. God, that you would bring more people to our churches and to our ministries to help us do the work of the ministry. God, we are able to trust in your goodness and your faithfulness and are so grateful that it's not about us, that we don't have to do much, God, and we just get to let you do it all, that we get to just be faithful and to steward the spaces that we're in, Lord. We praise you for just who you are, the way you've shaped and formed us, and ask that you would just show us more ways and how we can do that together today. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and split leadership development in our conversation today into three different parts: identification, development, and mobilization. And so we're going to go ahead and start and kick off with identification. all throughout Scripture, we see that there are very clear instances of God identifying leaders from the beginning of time, even looking at Genesis and looking at Adam and Eve. God identified them as the people to represent that we are good. We're created in the image of God. That you see that in Genesis 2 when he created humans. You also see all the other stuff he taught us through Adam and Eve. But you also continue through Abraham, through Moses, through Esther, David, Jonah. And then you start seeing the same practices done by Jesus. You see Jesus clearly identify people when he's gathering and calling his disciples. And so there's three types of identification that we're going to talk about today. The first is the mission. Very practically speaking, the mission is a description of the purpose. The purpose of your ministry. I want to remove the idea that we're not talking about a personal mission statement. We're talking about the mission statement maybe of your organization. And some questions to ask underneath that are, what is your why? Maybe you don't have a full understanding around your why of why you do what you do. We have a very broad why for what we do and why we do it, which we explored more this morning, and we can find in the Great Commission and just our understanding of being daughters of God. But what is your unique why? The second question would be, is your mission clear? Can people understand it, or is it confusing? The third would be, how can someone play a part in it? What space is there for someone to enter into? When Jesus identified Simon, Peter, and Andrew, he said, come follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. That was a mission. It was follow me, and the purpose was I'm going to make you fishers of men. And so that's the first element of identification is the mission. The second is the position, where someone fits in. So for us as leaders, it's important to define what type of role are we looking to fill underneath the mission. There's a lot of different types. Are you looking to fill an administrative role, a teaching role, another type of leadership development role? I know right now I'm really trying to develop groups, coaches to come alongside our group leaders. What are the different roles that you're looking to fill? Is that clear? And then the second would be, what giftings complement that role? We don't want to just put bodies in spaces to fill tasks, but going back to this idea of stewardship, we get to steward the giftings that God has given each individual person. And so we want to closely align them to their calling as much as possible and the gifts that God has given them. The third point and the third element of identification is the who, the person, the leader. The leader is the person that after that identifying the position, you're able to establish the person who you've identified to serve alongside the mission through a certain position. And questions to help kind of answer. I'm going to be asking you honestly more questions today than I'm going to give you answers, because most of the time with leadership development, you already have the people that are right in front of you. You oftentimes have the vision and the mission right inside of your ministry, inside of your heart. And the goal is just to help bring clarity around that and to help put actionable items with these different elements. And so questions that you can ask that has helped me a lot with identifying different leaders is, are they passionate about the mission? In other words, are they called to this work? Is it something where they really think about, they're praying about it, they're talking about it? The next would just be, are they faithful? Sometimes it looks like someone who's just showing up and won't stop showing up. They're there at everything. I think of this woman, Paulina. There's not a church event that I do not see that woman at. I've seen her missions trips. If there's a Saturday morning outreach, I'm like, Paulina, you were here last night for an event. How are you back here this morning? She's everywhere, but she's someone that we are starting to invest a little bit more into her leadership journey because she just keeps showing up. It's not about skill set. It's really about character. So who they are is always, always, always going to trump what they do. Pay attention to faithfulness, filter your decision through values instead of performance, there will be some really talented people that come into our ministries and come into our lives. But we're really looking to develop giftings, not just talent. Sometimes it's easy to intermix the two. There can be someone that's super great at getting something done, but it's actually not coming from a very healthy place. That's actually not their gifting. And so we want to be able to align as closely with their values and their giftings. I think about a good example of this in Scripture would be King David. David, you see, he's very clearly identified from God, but we don't remember him necessarily for the things that he did. He messed up a lot in his leadership journey, but we remember him for being a man after God's own heart. When you think about David, that's typically the first description that comes to mind. So we really want to be identifying character. And he wasn't defined by success or failure. He was defined by character. And so that's a principle that we want to bring into identification of the who. And again, you're going to hear more of just this language around spiritual gifts. And I don't know if you can switch breakouts, but I know Brenda is teaching an awesome breakout on spiritual gifts and talking more about those in depth. But really asking the question of what spiritual gifts God has given a person to fulfill a unique role in the kingdom of God, of even helping equip them with different spiritual gifts tests, coming alongside of them and just affirming them where you see that there's a spiritual gifting that God has given them. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to talk about it. So right now, you can circle up maybe with the girls on your team or some new people that you just met and ask these questions. What is your mission? What is the top position that you need filled? And who is one person that you can identify as a potential leader? So go ahead and talk about those three questions together, going over the three elements of leadership development. Okay. It sounds like you guys are having a lot of amazing conversations. We're going to go ahead and bring it back and talk about the next part of leadership development. And again, encourage you to exchange the phone number, connect with someone new. They can even help hold you accountable with your identification of leaders in your world. And I hope that this space of reflection for you actually helps you have the tools to be able to apply it more. It's easy to take in a lot at these conferences, but we want to be able to equip you to leave with just one next step to equip someone else. And so after the identification of a leader, then really starts the development process. Development is the process of journeying alongside a person to champion their growth and allow them to flourish. In other words, it's a key element of discipleship. Not every person that you go on a discipleship journey will become one of your top leaders. But as you walk more closely with Jesus, you start to see that living on mission alongside God, with God, underneath God, becomes essential to following Jesus. You can't separate the two. And so really leadership development can be summarized as the process of even discipleship. It's a key element of discipleship. And the first element of development, which I think sounds cool, element of development. I like that. Is pathway. Pathways. What pathways do you have? Let's cultivate pathways. A pathway is a chosen framework to onboard and journey with leaders. If you don't cultivate a pathway will create itself. So somehow leaders are going to need to be developed. And if you don't create it, it could be end up being a really complicated process. And your church could already have a pathway in place. A pathway is what happens after that first interaction, that first identification. For example, you may have a growth track that you invite someone to, or a connect experience, a newcomer's dinner. There's a lot of different expressions of that in a church or an organization. And then from there, they can learn about volunteer opportunities, or they can learn about small groups, or any next step that your church provides. And then eventually, they can apply as a volunteer. Maybe you interview them. That's the very beginning of the journey of developing with a leader. Would be what happens after that conversation you have in the hallway where you learn that someone is really passionate about the work that you're doing. Or you have coffee with a woman and she shares her life story and you're like, Have you ever thought about serving in biblical counseling? Because it seems like you have a strong knowledge of the Word of God and also have the gift of compassion and empathy. And so being able to help people connect the dots, which we'll talk about in just a minute. And I would really encourage you that if you are a part of a church with a provided framework and a pathway, to align with that as closely as possible. That will create a synergy across your organization and across your church that's so much better than when we create our own systems for leadership development, so that then you all of a sudden have a whole organization, a whole movement of people that carry similar values, that carry a passion for what you're doing. And so I want to encourage you to fall underneath those pathways that are provided for you. But maybe you need to create a pathway. You don't really have one defined. And this is something that you can take back of paying attention to what happens after that first interaction, and then how you journey with someone along the way, which after you cultivate that initial pathway, the next is to help connect the dots. This is my favorite part of leadership development. It's when you can sit down with someone, you can hear their life story, their testimony, what God has done in their lives. You can ask them and help them understand what spiritual gifts are, again, by supplementing with those assessments of looking at scripture and identifying what the specific spiritual gifts are in the Word of God. And also, what are your core values? This concept comes from an amazing resource that I use often called Kazown by Craig Groeschel. It's C-H-A-Z-O-W-N. And it really helps people. We use this very frequently in our core leadership development spaces. But it allows people to understand that unique thing that God has wired them for. Of God works all things together for good. So even the hardest, most broken parts of someone's life, oftentimes that expression of being worked out for good looks like being able to serve other people who are walking through what they walked through. And so it allows you to help kind of create this culmination and journey alongside someone to connect the dots. We teach a 6-week leadership class for women. It's literally my favorite part of the year. It's 6 weeks where we just invite any woman who's interested in leadership, not just at church, but also wanting to lead in their home, leading in the workplace, leading in their classrooms, to a 6-week leadership class. And by the end, the goal is that they can take one step towards the calling that God has given them. And this last week, we had our last class. And so one of our key elements of language out of the vision of our church is world-changing women. So the vision of our church is to reach our community and change our world. We do that through making disciples. And because of that, we believe that the women of our church are world-changing women, because changing the world starts with changing your world. It starts in your house, your backyard, your street. Very missional living right where you're at. And so if you read some of these next steps, they're pretty funny. Some of them are funny. There's a woman that wanted to start a prayer hotline. She started that night. She was just like, I want my phone to be available for prayer. So she wrote her number on every single person's piece of paper and was like, call me if you need prayer. And I saw her at church on Sunday. She's like, 4 women have already called. The next would be just joining and leading a small group. That was really exciting for us. That's our main wheelhouse for discipleship. There are 6 women from our lead course that are going to start leading groups. And that's 6 women, that's like 60 women that will be able to experience community and engage in the Word of God in a new way. My favorite one on here is I Don't Know Yet. That was a 14-year-old who had to come to class every week with her mom, and her mom forced her to go up and write something, and she was so embarrassed, but I was like, it's okay, you have a lot of time to figure this out. But one person wanted to reach my street for Jesus, more of a witness in my secular leadership. Lead a Bible study, create a safe space for young people to find women, or to find friends and to find community. And so really helping people identify what their unique space is. There's a lot of groups on here because that's really our wheelhouse, our expression. Instead of creating a lot of separate little ministries, we really want to go together with groups and help women develop to lead groups for our church. And so we get to help connect the dots. That's a culmination of helping someone connect the dots. 1 week they write their life story. 1 week they take a spiritual gifts test, and we teach about that. There's a process there for 6 weeks that then we filter them through the main pathway. So that's an example of a pathway that helps introduce women to their best next step. The third would be to create space. As leaders in this room, we want to be door holders. Sometimes we want to be door closers with discernment of like, this is not your best space, but we're going to find that for you. And I can think about so many times when people have held the door open for me. Right now, in the role that I get to serve in, God opened the door really miraculously and wildly when I was 23, which was a unique, really unique journey. And our lead pastors, Doug and Suzanne, when I was 23 and I had felt called to ministry since I was 13 years old, and really God fostered my heart for women in ministry, multi-generational ministry. And we started just having a transition on staff from an incredible woman who I really even learned from when I was in high school, who when I was 16 and 17 would be like, you're going to take my job one day. And I was like, I don't want to. I don't want your job. And but she like really brought me in. And even throughout college, I would come back, I would get lunch with her and Suzanne, and we would just talk all throughout that journey. I went to Calvary Chapel Bible College Europe for 1 year, and then I forgot to say this in my introduction, and then I went to Azusa Pacific University and studied Christian ministries, and through that, God just continued creating and fostering my heart for women and made that very clear through very specific instances through the Word of God and through just really clear moments of sensing the Lord's voice. But that wasn't a normal thing to happen, but what happened was that Doug and Suzanne opened a door for me to step in and say, hey, they took a really big risk on me because I was really young, and a majority of women that were engaged at the time were in their 60s or 70s, and we really wanted to help reach this next generation of women that were coming, and it was really, really hard at first. I remember we had to walk into a really uncomfortable meeting, and we met with Pastor Doug. He was in there and met at the beginning, and I just will never forget. It's like one of my favorite stories. He said, you can't kill me. I'm already dead. Before we went into this meeting, and he said, leaders take bullets for people. And so we want to be able to take bullets for people and open doors for people and create space that comes at a risk for us, where you're going to get a lot of emails. You're going to get a lot of phone calls sometimes because it wouldn't be what someone would imagine. And I'm so grateful for the doors that people have opened for me, where God impressed on their hearts to open a door. So going back for prayer, it's a prayer point of like, God, what doors can I open for someone else in my ministry? How can I create space for someone? And this third element is coaching, which really comes down to debriefing. Like I said, my dad is a football coach. He's been a football coach since I was little. So I grew up on the sidelines of football games and in the stands at practices. I wanted to be with him all the time. And I got to see teams start out. You start out at the beginning of the season and you're like, who do I have here? You have new recruits. You have people that have been playing for a few years. And then all of a sudden, you start to see them shape and form as a team. But with coaching comes the consistent feedback of, hey, you did that really well. Do it again. Hey, you didn't do that very well. Let's talk about it. And it's immediate and it's fast. A really great framework for feedback so that you can reach the goals and fulfill the mission that God has given you with the women that you're developing is I do, you watch, debrief, talk about it. Hey, what did you see when I was praying for this person? What did you see when I was setting up a room? What did you see? Help them identify what they saw. I do and you do. We do it together this time. I'm still leading, but you're doing it with me. Talk about it. Debrief it. The next would be you do and I do. So you're going to lead, but I'm going to come help you. I'm going to do whatever you need so that you can do it. Talk about it. And then the second would be you do and I watch and then I talk about it. So you're fully doing it on your own, but I'm able to give feedback. And that's a really great framework for feedback of even being really clear. We've been trying to create a clear pathway of communication for different communicators and Bible teachers that we're wanting to raise up. And we say at the beginning, hey, we believe in you. We want to invest in this gifting that God has given you to teach and to shepherd. So we're going to give you feedback to make you better. Sometimes feedback can feel really jarring without relationship, and it can feel out of place. And I know we all get a ton of feedback from people that's unsolicited and not helpful half the time. But then we want to have clear people who speak into our lives as leaders and give feedback that we identify like, hey, I want your voice in this space in my life. And so we get to help do that for other people. It's hard, it's a journey, but it comes with relationship. And so now we're going to talk about the elements of development. So talk about these two questions. What is the leadership pathway of my church or organization? Is it clear? Do I need to create one? And then the second is, where can I create space for new leaders to emerge in my ministry? Okay, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this time of discussion. Hope you were able to clarify some tangible next steps for development in your space. We're going to talk about what happens after development and the results of development as we come back. And a quick note that I felt like even really God impressed upon my heart last night about coaching is coaching character. And when we think about leadership development as stewardship, we actually have the responsibility to pay attention to the soul health of our leaders. And so sometimes women specifically have the tendency to overdo it. And so really walking in close proximity to the women that we're leading, to the people that we're leading, I would rather have leaders step out for a season and have a healthy soul than serve and be burnt out and exhausted. It's the same thing with coaching. It becomes dangerous when an athlete or a player is fatigued. That's when injury happens, concussions happened, trauma happens. And so we want to be really vigilant in caring and coaching the character and the soul health of the people that we are leading and that we are serving. And so with that, and after we've coached really well, after we've identified and we've developed the women and leaders in our sphere, the end result is mobilization. Mobilization is the fun part, and it's the culmination of leadership development across an organization. This happens when one or more leader is activated and serving from their giftings and fulfilling the mission, allowing vision to come to life. So the definition from the dictionary of mobilization is the action of a country or its government preparing and organizing troops for active service. So as you start seeing different giftings arise from the different leaders that you start investing in, start developing, you get to have a table full of different people, different perspectives, different life stories, different giftings. It's like gathering the troops to fulfill and complete the mission. The second definition is the action of making something movable or capable of movement, meaning that it goes back to that first idea that we cannot do this alone. We need other giftings. We need other people to be represented. That brings strength. It requires humility from us to release people into their giftings and their calling. Sometimes it's hard because there might be an area where you're like, I really like that part, but I can actually give it to them because they're better at it, because God has gifted it them better than I can in that space. There's spaces that only you can fulfill, that God has called you to fulfill, and those are the ones to go really hard in. Everything else we can hand away. Everything else we can pass off so that we can make something movable so it doesn't stay stagnant, or something will stay stagnant for a really long time. So mobilization is the result of consistency, mainly prayer, being consistent in prayer, but really consistency. And so there's consistency of mission. So being consistent in what the mission, establishing that, like we talked about in the first element of identification. Stephen Neal, he's a mission historian. He says, if everything is mission, then nothing is mission. And that's really helpful. So being consistent in the mission so that people can identify like, oh, that's something I'm passionate about. The second is being consistent in language. I know I briefly talked about this idea of world-changing women. When we first introduced that in 2019, that was not well received. people were like, I am not a world-changing woman. Please don't put that on me. And we had to like be really consistent at that for the last years of really bringing and saying, hey, this is what we mean when we say world-changing women. We're not expecting you to start an organization. We're not expecting you to even do more than what you're doing right now. It just looks like living on mission where God has you, changing your world. And so being consistent with that, where now that's a very well-received topic for our church and for our women, where at first it wasn't. And so when you're consistent with it, though, we didn't change it because that was a conviction when we re-envisioned our space for women in our church. And so being consistent with language. The next would be consistent in rhythms. And so having those consistent pathways, those onboardings, those touch points, that requires saying no to some things for the sake of consistency. Sometimes you'll have a really good idea and you're like, let's do that next week. And you're like, no, we have our outreach day that happens every year this week, that week. So we're not going to start that next week. You have to be able to say no to things, but really establishing those rhythms. So the way our ministry is designed is twice a year we have a large event. It's called The Gathering. If you're ever in South Florida, please come. We'd love to be able to have you, but it's a place for girls of all generations to gather together to grow and to go. Every man in our church can quote that phrase. They call it The Gathering. They want one too. But we're very consistent with that. And so every time we provide our filter for next steps is this going to add to their growth? And are they going to be mobilized? Are they going to go somewhere? And so that happens through small groups, through on-campus Bible studies that lead into and filter into small groups. And it also happens into going globally and locally through serving and through outreach. And so being consistent in those rhythms of, they kind of know that when they're going to come to the gathering, there's going to be an opportunity after that for groups. So when you look at that through the filter of leadership development, right now we're starting to recruit, invest, develop the group leaders that will start leading groups in February. And so really paying attention to those, the consistency of the rhythms in your ministry. And so your talk about a point is to identify just one takeaway that you want to focus on in each of these areas: identification, development, and mobilization. But before we do that, I want to do a few minutes of Q&A. If anybody has any questions, there's like a lot of topics around leadership development. So these are just the few that I wanted to talk about today. So we can open up the floor. I can't promise I'm going to have any good answers, but we will learn together.
Like 40s and above. And so then we, for our Bible studies. And then we have a young girl come. They stay once or twice, and then they leave. And I've heard, well, there's nobody like in my age group. Mm-hmm. And so how do you develop a place where young women want to also be a part?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a really similar That's a very similar context to probably a lot of us in the room. But really, it looks like placing value on every generation, of helping develop the older women in the room to say, you have a lot that you can contribute to the younger generation. As young women, like, we need women in every generation to be able to speak into our lives. So almost giving them a mission attached to it of, this is a place that God can use you in this season to invest in the lives of younger women. And it also looks like just developing leaders of, even if you have someone coming in a couple of times, about creating space for them, and being pretty consistent with that. So inviting people in early, young people in early, to your planning of, hey, do you think this graphic is cool? Young people actually care about the images and the graphics that you show because it's connected to a deeper meaning and a deeper purpose, where someone who's 80 will come if it's in Comic Sans printed out on just a piece of paper. Like, I'm not going to go to that event. I'm going to be like, that's going to be kind of lame. And so even just inviting that feedback in from younger people, when we do something, we are kind of consistent in, we want to visually have something that appeals to 20s, 30s, maybe a little bit younger, in the visuals practically, but we want the message transcends generations. So being consistent with that, but it's really about relationships. There's really great resources like Growing Young out of Fuller Youth Seminary in Pasadena, where they talk about just sitting on the curb with the life of a young person, of listening to them, and not coming at them. Like, don't just tell them. When you say the phrase, when I was your age, that's actually one of the biggest dividing phrases because the world is so different. Like, when I, my brother is 8 years younger than me, and I'm like, when I was like, oh yeah, when I was 20, he's 20 right now. I was like, oh yeah, I remember that when I was 20. He's like, Annie, you were never 20. Like, he's like, you weren't 20 today. So it's actually a dividing statement. And so it really comes down to listening and just making every generation feel valued. It's not about we want to discount the older generation, but we want to make space for the new generation. It's a collaboration, collaborative effort. Okay.
You mentioned a six-week discipleship thing. Do you have those resources available?
I can send you my, I'll give you guys my email. My email is annieh@calvaryftl.org. And I have a Google file that I can share with you for all the resources that we do for our six-week leadership course called Lead Course. Yeah. Annieh@calvaryftl.org. And it just provides our outlines, recommended resources for each week. You can make it your own, but you're more than welcome to use that. .org. Calvary, Annie, Annieh. @calvaryftl.org. I could write it on the screen. I don't know if I want all of you guys to have my email. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, I know. Yes, question. Oh, okay. Annie, A-N-N-I-E, H, I'm going to forget it now, @ Calvary, C-A-L-V-A-R-Y, FTL.org.
And that's the prayer hotline, right?
No. No, I'll give you her number, though. Yes. Yeah. It really comes down to just being faithful with the two that God has given you right there. And I'm sorry, that's a hard place to be in. But also asking the pastor's wife, like, how can I support you in this season? Like, what is your vision for the church? And coming under alignment with that as much as possible, well, then helping, as you form that, continue to form that relationship, help even bring a new perspective to, hey, I'll take this on for you. If you feel overwhelmed, like, and that's too much for your season right now, like, I'll take that and run with it. And just being, but it really just comes down to being consistent with those two. And serving faithfully with them, and and just pray. Yes.
So the reason I moved from San Diego up here a couple years ago.
Nice.
And I was involved with prison ministry in San Diego.
Oh, cool.
And it was an amazing, I mean, I've done Awanas and Women's and Prayer, but prison ministry, God called me for personal reasons. It was amazing. But when I moved up here, mm-hmm. I feel like for 2 years God's had me in a holding pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Super frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
I'm abreast. But I feel like, I was sharing with these ladies, I think there's a lot of people wandering around in churches today not knowing where they fit.
Very true.
And the church I went to in San Diego, they had something called an intern program, mm-hmm. for people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's actually how I ended up into prison ministry.
Cool.
But, you know, you start off, you go to the women, you go to the children, you go to... So it was an opportunity they gave you to just go spend one day or one time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you continue to go through them until you find. So it's something I was recommending is, you know, especially with the bigger churches these days, you could just say, hey, we're a big church. We know there's somebody out there that just doesn't know where they fit, and we want to talk to you. We want to listen to you. What are your giftings? You
mm-hmm.
know. But until someone reaches out, they're like, I've been to multiple different. I'm doing my own intern program, and I think I'm hearing where God wants me. That's why I'm here. I'm here to listen.
Cool.
It seems to be coming into the same thing. But I would just recommend any leaders here. Ask the women. Are there women out in our church that you
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Leading with questions is always the best way to do it. You see, Jesus does that all throughout his ministry. He leads with questions. And so, yeah, super wise. Okay, we have time for one more question. Yes.
Oh, yeah. So in the coach debrief section, uh-huh. You said, I do, then tell me
oh, yeah.
You learn.
Oh, yeah. So it's, I do, you watch, debrief. I do, you do, debrief. You do, I do, debrief. The difference between those two is who's primarily leading it. The fourth is you do, I watch, debrief. Okay. Well, it's been so fun spending this hour together with you. Really, I'm going to continue even praying for this room and the mission and the vision that God has given each of you, that God would bring the right people to the table to come alongside what he's given you as we steward that together. And now it is time for lunch. So head to lunch. Thank you guys so much.